B-Pod Studios.
No one
says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're falling apart by the seams. You know who needs to be brought into the eye of the storm?
I hope you say the name.
Mr. Danny Ainge.
I agree.
Mr. Danny Ainge. Enough's enough. We respect Danny Ainge. We respect the job that he has done. It is undeniable. But it's also time that we highlight what he hasn't been able to do. He was reluctant, highly reluctant to pull a trigger and to get a deal. He had the assets. He could have gotten a big time player. Outside of the gift from his buddy, what has Danny Ainge really, really done in free agency? Acquiring Al Horford, you want to throw that up in there. That's to be respected. But what has he really, really done? The reality of the situation is that anybody coming to Boston to play for Danny Ainge.
Stephen Aiken said, he said that last week. How does Danny still get a win on the Kyrie trade? It's ridiculous. Time for the Dan Van Lines move around the league. And that's Kyrie Irving to the Celtics somehow. The Celtics trade a lottery pick for the guy. He gets hurt in year one, destroys the team from the inside in year two, walks for nothing, and in the meantime, blocks you from trading the guy you really wanted, and Danny Ainge still gets the win. How does that happen, McCarthy? How does he get that deference?
I have no idea. I have no idea why he's held in this Belichick-like standard. I'm not going to kill him for trading, you know, for Kyrie Irving and taking that chance. This is where he does deserve the criticism, though, Felger. There were warning signs there. He doesn't show up to Game 7. Try and trade him then. He tells you a week before the trading deadline that he's gone, essentially. February 1st, I don't owe anybody crap. Ask me July 1st. He made it very clear. I'm gone. I'm leaving. We all saw the direction the Celtics were heading in. Why didn't you move him then? For a guy who is renowned for hoarding all these assets, right? Nobody's better than Trader Danny at getting all these assets. He let a superstar walk out the door for nothing when he said a week before the trading deadline that he's gone. How can you not criticize him for that?
His plan didn't work.
So have a plan B. That's the thing. Have a plan B.
But this is my point. This is a fact. The plan did not work. Was his heart in the right place? Did it seem like the right thing to do at the time? Yes. Most everyone was on board. So we were all wrong. But the plan did not work.
Yeah, you don't hear me arguing otherwise, but the plan at the time seemed like the right plan. I think that where he really Where he really deserves criticism is some of the moves that could have been made throughout the season, like getting rid of Terry Rozier when you knew that he was also part of the problem. Just trying to make tweaks so you can try to salvage the season and make things right.
I mean, good Lord, people. This is not predicting. This is not projecting. You know, no one knows what's going to happen in the future. If these guys walk, it's now in the books. You gave up X for that to have this plan. And now you're taking two steps back. It didn't work. How does Danny Ainge still get credit for it? Only him. You wouldn't even give that to Belichick.
No.
Belichick would face far more criticism if he had something blow up in his face like that. Belichick would get hammered. Because the pressure is so high on the Patriots and the expectations are so high and there's a big dialogue about the Patriots that, you know, we can still have a back and forth a little bit. With the Celtics, God, the Kyrie Irving move, it did not work. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, Dan Van Lines. It's a Dan Van Line move around the league. Is that what they had in mind with that read right there? Sort of awkward, I would say. Okay, back to your phones, as promised. You still have Red Sox stuff on the board as well. Here's Andrew in North Reading. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, I was curious, Felger, your thoughts on this, because you're talking about Danny Ainge. Something that you talked about kind of before Kyrie Irving even came was now we'll see how Brad Stevens manages egos.
Right.
I actually think he's a lot more to blame because at the end of the day, like you said, they lost the trade. It was a bad trade. But at the time, it was kind of a no-brainer. And, you know, at the end of the day, all he can do is bring in talent. It's Brad Stevens' job to kind of bring it all together. So.
Okay, but look, he thought, and you all did, and we all did. You know, I wasn't super critical. I was a little bit more than you people. I mean, I at least, in the middle of the thing, said we have to wait to see what Kyrie does before we call that trade a win. And you all lost your minds. You couldn't figure it out. You know, so at least I was a little bit on the brakes. So we all thought it was the right thing at the time. But it turns out that those mix of players with that coach was not the right mix of players with that coach, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that how does Danny Ainge still get a win for that? I still did all the right things. We'd still do it again. Why would you do that again?
Because people think the world is played in like an NBA 2K19 type of world. And that's what Danny Ainge did. He built the best team on paper, but he was too blind to see that this thing wasn't working out. He was too blind to see the warning signs. He was too blind to get out when he still could with Kyrie Irving, get out, make changes with, I don't know, shipping off Terry Rozier somewhere. He was just one of those GMs who said, I built the best team. You know, I couldn't have done anything more. When the plan doesn't work, that's fine. The plan was great. It didn't work out. Have a backup plan. Have a plan B. There was no plan B here.
I'm just saying, why would you do it again? Why would you do that again? Why wouldn't you save that?
Because I consider it in that moment in time then. It's just too easy to sit here now.
That's
and say, like,
how you judge anything. No, that's how you judge. That's how you should judge your life. In the moment, it felt like a good idea to make fun of Roy Halladay. Turned out that was a bad idea.
Yeah, so you say, whoops. Oh, well.
Exactly, and I wouldn't do it again. Why would
you? So you learn from it. And look, at that time, you still would have done it.
I don't mean to compare the two. No. If you make a mistake and it doesn't work, then you go back in history and say, actually, I would look at that differently and I would do something differently. But Danny Ainge can have it all blow up in his face and everyone say, I'd still do it again. Why? Wouldn't it be much better to save the lottery pick, not use it on the a-hole who doesn't know what he wants, and trade it for the guy that you really want at the trade deadline in Anthony Davis? Wouldn't you do that instead? Because make no mistake, you trading for Kyrie Irving blocked you from trading for Anthony Davis. Another thing we did not know at the time. Did they mismanage that? Did by trading for Kyrie Irving, did it block them from the guy they really wanted? And you'd still do that again? Come on.
Maybe the hope was you bring Kyrie in. Kyrie loves it here. He's telling Anthony Davis, oh, you'll love it in Boston too. So when Kyrie can do his new contract, then you trade for Anthony Davis and bingo. And you know what happened? It was just the opposite. Kyrie was telling Anthony Davis, it sucks here. Go to the Lakers.
Exactly. So if that was your plan, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. You don't get credit. You don't still get credit when what you thought would happen didn't happen. Why Danny gets that is, and I'm not telling you to fire the guy or that he's great.
I'd consider it.
Oh, stop it, Jimmy. He's great at his job. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, you know, just be fair about what happened. They had a plan and it didn't work.
These are two catastrophic trades now, you realize, in the resume of Danny Ainge.
What's the second?
The Perk for Jeff Green trade.
Oh, I hated that one.
That one was bad at the time.
So this is two now. This is two championships potentially Danny Ainge has cost this team.
The Perk trade was worse than this. This felt like the right thing. The Perk, day one, I was like, I hate this. Day one, it never felt like the right thing to me on Perkins, Kendrick Perkins. This one felt right. Sure, it felt right. It turns out it wasn't. Why can't we say it? Ed in Cambridge. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes, you're correct, Felger. You don't have a straw man argument. You are beating it a little bit hard. I can think of a lot of people that they're not sports writers who didn't like that trade from the beginning. But Danny should get more criticism on top of what you've already laid on him for the fact that he could have unloaded Kyrie after year one or even probably halfway through last season quite easily. My second thing I'd like to discuss is next year a litmus test for Tatum and Brown?
Should be the next couple. I wouldn't put it on 1 year, but yes. I mean, what other option do they have?
No, that's it. You have to cross your fingers and hope the best for these two turning into all the NBA type players.
I'll tell you what. Ultimately, it might pan out for them. It might be the right way they should have gone in the first place.
I think we should collectively give them a mulligan for one bad year and their bitchiness. I mean, it was a bad situation.
The young players.
Yeah.
I'm willing to
do
that too. Just don't tell me that Kyrie was a win. And that we'd all do it again. Why would you do that again? You want to do that again? Well, it's the wrong guy. He was the wrong guy to turn your franchise over to. It was the wrong guy to use to recruit other guys. Because as Jimmy said, it turns into just the opposite. Where Kyrie started telling people how much he hates it here. And now he's made you less of a destination. It's flipped on its ear. So why would you do that again?
He made Al Horford leave.
You know, the big fellow there, Brian Windhorst, I hate to do this to you. This is, again, from a Shreddy Ball podcast. Which just has all the tempo and pacing of a podcast. But the big fella actually came up with a good one. So I had to listen to this for Cocta thing, so I clipped it for you. The overall criticism of Danny Ainge. Brian Windhorst came up with this, or maybe someone else did. I don't know, but just listen to this.
It's a George Patton line when it comes to the Celtics. A good plan I looked this up because I wanted to get it exactly right. A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan next week. And I think it is, in the NBA, we often see these teams who, I've never quoted a general before, but I would almost say that is the difference between the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics. They violently executed a plan, and they're holding the trophy. The Celtics had a plan for next week, and it didn't happen.
Sort of makes sense, right?
That's great. That's good stuff.
A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan next week. I mean, that's exactly what Toronto did. They took a bigger chance and rolled the dice and were right. They went after the right guy. You went after the wrong guy. Why can't we say it? Why do we still give Danny Ainge credit when he went after the wrong guy? And in the meantime, blocked him from the guy he really wanted, because that's what happened in that deal. And I'm still glad he's the GM. He's excellent at what he does. I'll take my chances with him over anyone else any day of the week. I'll stack him up against anyone in a trade scenario, blah, blah, blah. But let's just call it for what it is and for what happened. And not just bending over backwards to make excuses for the guy. It didn't work out the way they thought. More your thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here with a...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I honestly think they should have moved on from Kyrie because it was that bad. You know, people around the team, and some guys that have never said anything to me. And I, you know, go to a game, and I think I only went to like 2 this year. But towards the end of the year, I went to 1, and guys are like, it's just time. But as you know, you don't want to lose that asset for nothing. So I think the Celtics were still trying to figure out a way to salvage it and make it work. But, you know, this is mimicking. It's not a trade demand like it was 2 years ago, right? But it's mimicking some of the same things where, like, once Kyrie shut down, like, he shuts it down. Like, Kyrie just operates differently. And I think it is – I just wonder, you know, like, do you think that you're operating on this level of understanding that no one can catch up to? And it's like you're enlightened – way in your path, and you know, like, I'm not knocking you. Like, if you're just seeing the world differently than the rest of us, okay, you know, who am I to tell you you're wrong? But if it's that abrasive with all of your teammates all the time, then that's a problem.
It's Ryan Russillo, Kyrie Irving. If they could tell in the middle of the year, it wasn't the right fit. He wasn't the right fit.
All right, so then this is where you can get on Ainge. Then you should have made a move halfway through the year. Shop Kyrie Irving, shop Terry Rozier, shop Jaylen Brown, something to try to shake up that mix so it didn't become the complete dumpster fire that it became.
But he was blind. That's the problem. He thought he had laid out the perfect plan, and all of a sudden the plan is not working. And he was unable or unwilling or whatever to look at it and say, well, this isn't working, I need to make a change. Kyrie says he wants out. Well, I'm not going to trade him. I'm going to kiss his ass for the next few months and try and make him stay. No, it wasn't the right thing to do. That's where you can criticize him.
So, the whole plan didn't work out. So, my only point is, you can't say he made all the right moves when it didn't work out, which I feel like Danny Ainge is getting, which is just preposterous to me. Jim and Taunton, your thoughts. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right, so you say that Danny Ainge lost that Kyrie Irving trade.
What, you think now, he won it?
No. Okay. The mistake that he made was not getting rid of Irving this year. Because if you look back, he traded a guy with a bum hip, and he's number 9 on who's ever bench now, Avery Bradley, and some other crumb bum. I don't even remember.
Jay
so
Crowder.
If he didn't make that trade, what was he going to do? Keep those guys?
No, it's all about Kyrie blocking. I don't care about those guys. Those guys are superfluous. Those were Bridges and nothing to do with it. It was the lottery pick. You gave up a lottery pick for Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving then destroyed your team and blocked you from trading the guy that you really wanted. So what would I do? I don't care what happens to Crowder and Avery Bradley and the rest of them. And trade him in some other deal. Trade him with the mouthy little peanut somewhere else. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the asset you could have used to get Anthony Davis here, who would not have been blocked by Kyrie's presence. And you could have done that last trade deadline. Is that not a better plan? Is it wrong to say in hindsight that would have been the play?
Do we know that New Orleans was willing to trade Anthony Davis at that time? I don't think they were.
Oh, they weren't. They were desperate not to trade him to the Lakers. Desperate not to trade him to the Lakers. And so you had the opening. That was your opening. That they weren't, you know, the David Griffin came in and he was willing to deal with the Lakers. At that time, they were not dealing with the Lakers. They would have dealt with you, but you were blocked. If you weren't blocked, could you have done that trade then? Or if you had just done nothing and used the lottery pick, would you be in better shape today?
You could have traded up and got Luka Doncic.
Okay, I mean, that's what you would have had to move from 8 to 3, Jimmy?
Yeah, and that probably would have been enough.
So I don't know if you could have done
8 and something else probably get you to 3.
Gasper said it was Jaylen Brown on Saturday. I hadn't heard that
so
before.
So you're saying they could have traded Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, that's accurate.
8 and Jaylen Brown to move up to 3?
Yeah.
And Luka Doncic? So, like, would that have been a better plan?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that would have been a better plan.
All I'm saying is the path they took didn't work. He doesn't get credit for it. We've got Casey in Vermont. Go ahead, Casey. You're up next with Felger and Mass, with Big Jim Murray from Mass. Go ahead, Casey.
Hi, I have a distinct memory of Week Grousepeak on the radio bragging that he told Danny Ainge to trade for Kyrie because players like that rarely become available. Just do it.
Okay, so we think Wick Grosbeck influenced that trade. In fact, Ricky in the car wants to say the same thing. Do you hear the same thing, Ricky?
Yeah, Felger, if I'm not mistaken, it was Wick who reached out to Dan Gilbert, and then he said it on your show, and then they met over what, in Paris or something?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, I do remember.
So it wasn't Danny. I'm sure, I mean, you know, he probably talked to Danny.
You know what
it.
I think that was, Ricky, now that you're saying it? You know what I think it was? I think, didn't they have a back and forth about Isaiah Thomas's medicals?
Yeah. Yes.
And there was a big debate over would they have to send extra compensation because he failed the physical and blah, blah, blah. And that's where I think the owners came in. So you can parse that. If you want to take out me saying Danny Ainge and just put in Celtics front office generically, fine. Whoever made the decision, it didn't work. They don't get credit for it. You shouldn't make a decision that fails that badly and then have everyone turn around and say, it's still the right call. He deserves all the credit in the world, which is what Danny Ainge gets from these NBA folks, which to me is, I just can't say it enough. I mean, the thing did not work. We all thought it would, but it did not. Scott in Charlestown, do you think they even knew about the Rose Rule? I can't set you up any more than that. Scott in Charlestown, are you there? Okay, that Rose Rule, did they know about it? Jimmy, you have any intel on that? What do you think?
I do not have any intel on that.
They better have known about it.
They absolutely better have known
about
job.
It. That's what their jobs are, like McCarthy just said. Like, they're the ones that need to know all that minutia that we see. And like, oh, God, we got to do this. Like, that's what they're getting paid the big bucks to know.
Because if you don't know about that, that makes you Rob Pelinka. That's who you are. You go from Danny Ainge to Rob Pelinka if you don't know the rules. Again, it's your job to know the rules.
That might be an overplayed narrative there.
What do you mean?
The Lakers might know more than that's being portrayed in the national narrative on them. About, we don't know about caps, but they know what they're doing. Trust me, they know what they're doing.
Okay. I'm not even sure they do. But you know what? Who could? Maybe these guys met. There's so many freaking exceptions to that NBA salary cap. Can you possibly keep track of them all?
That's their job.
I know
you're responsible for that. Or you employ somebody to know that.
So if they didn't know it, that's really, really bad. If they knew it and they still did it, it's still a mistake. You had to have known. And if you didn't know, it's worse. But even if you knew, the second you traded for Kyrie Irving, that meant you were out of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes for 2 years. 2 years. At the time of the Kyrie Irving trade, right? Well, 3 years, really.
Yeah, it would have been 3 on
Davis. Well, no, because...
August of that. It was that summer.
But it would have been when Kyrie's contract expired. They could then go in on Anthony Davis. So 2 years. So you knew when you should have known, when you traded for Kyrie Irving, you were out on Anthony Davis for 2 full years. Did they know it? Inexcusable if they didn't. And even if they did, mistake. Is that not a mistake? You know, and they've gotten so many right over the years. I'm not, you know, like bashing his track record. if they thought Al Horford, for example, was a opening of the door for it being a destination here, and they were right about it, because I think Al Horford did sort of grease the skids for those who followed and for Kyrie to follow. But if they felt the same thing about Kyrie, they were just the opposite, because Kyrie, as we've come to know now, hates it here and was telling people about it. And he probably scared away Anthony Davis, and he may have chased off Al Horford, and he may have killed your status as a destination here for the little for the next little bit. I don't know how long that time frame is, but if that's what they were expecting with Kyrie Irving, they didn't get it. Play this long cut that I had, Jimmy. The whole Celtics thing with AD and Kyrie with Windhorst, again with Jackie McMullen. Just let me hear this if you could.
I'll talk about the Mavericks and Al Horford in a minute, but I just, Jackie, what happened to the Celtics here? Or are they going to be like, they were a team. I was on Get Up this morning, and Mike Greenberg, I thought he summed it up, and maybe somebody else has said this, and I just haven't heard it. But they were a team that had a future, but somehow missed the present. Like,
right?
What happened?
They did everything. You know, it's funny, Brian. They did everything right.
They did.
Think about it. They positioned themselves perfectly. But as I said last night on our network, nothing has gone right. Nothing has gone right. Yeah, but nothing has gone right for them since Kyrie Irving came there. Nothing. Think about it. Catastrophic injury to to Hayward, an injury to Kyrie Irving. The Sacramento Kings actually got good. What the heck, right? That pick was supposed to be an amazing pick. Everything that could have gone wrong for them along the way has gone wrong, including, and I do think this can't be stated enough, the Lakers enabling themselves to get that. You know, it was luck. It was the luck of the lottery balls getting that number four pick. That was really, to me, the final nail in the coffin, because that was the end of the Anthony Davis talk, because
yeah,
the Lakers
also,
finally hit. Go ahead.
I want to point out that part of the Kyrie Irving trade was sending away Isaiah Thomas. And even if that was the correct decision for the franchise, that damaged their reputation within the league. And maybe Anthony
Davis.
But
see, I'm calling shenanigans on that. That is utter nonsense, Brian. Every other GM and team in the league would make that deal 10 times out of 10. I just don't believe that. I think that was a great narrative for the Anthony Davis camp. That's what
okay.
I think.
And that may be fair. And that may be fair. But that was a narrative that they used.
Yeah, and, I don't blame them. I'd use it too, because they didn't want to go there. For whatever reason, Anthony Davis didn't want to go to Boston. That's fine. It could be in part because he's talking to his pal Kyrie Irving, who, listen, there are many, many reasons why Kyrie Irving isn't going to be in Boston anymore. Although we have to hedge it still, guys. We still have to hedge it because it hasn't happened yet. And right. If you believe Brian Lewis's report out of Brooklyn that the Nets are, you know, squeamish about going with just Kyrie and not KD, you know, but we can talk about that in a minute. But these are all the things. The part of the thing was Kyrie Irving didn't like Boston. I've been told this by many people. He didn't like living in Boston. He just didn't. You know, by the end, he had issues with Brad. By the end, he had issues with Danny. By the end, he had issues with pretty much all of us, right? So.
Okay, so she says Kyrie may have told Anthony Davis to stay away. So you give up a lottery pick for a guy who, it's just, again, here's the list. Lottery pick for a guy who gets hurt in year one, destroys your team in year two, leaves for nothing after year two, prevents you from trading the guy that you really wanted in Anthony Davis, and then when you do have a chance for trade to Anthony Davis, tells him not to come here because it sucks here. And they did everything right, you do it again? What? Why am I the only one that just finds that insane to say? No. They hitched their wagon to the wrong a-hole. That's the moral of the Kyrie Irving story. They did not get it right. Turns out they got it wrong. Here's McCarthy's update. We'll reset our Red Sox stuff as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
As on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
It's sharply, but a one-bound Sogard has it, and that will do it. Well, Toronto, rather surprisingly, comes in and wins the last two games, and they take the series 6-1. The final score here today, and the White Sox will be the next club in on Monday.
So the Sox lose 2 of 3, and all of a sudden people want to sell. Insane. Murray, McCarthy, Stu, people looking at me.
I wanted to sell June 1st, but you've missed an opportunity to get some better prospects now.
Murray's in for Maz, McCarthy in for Murray. Everyone slid over one chair. I say this because Pete Abraham, the lead baseball writer for the Globe, who heretofore, who previously was the keeper of the gate, this guy, very protective of the team. Anyone who cast aspersions on the team was immediately shot down and shamed on Twitter or elsewhere. This guy, Pete Abraham, I feel like has been invaded by aliens, and they've made him awesome.
Right. Typically, he's defending the bullpen, and you know, he's like you said, yeah. You chirp at him on Twitter, he'll block you, unfollow, any of that kind of stuff.
He's usually the stay the course. The team has the right idea. You know, be patient.
Everything's fine.
Everything. Yeah. The keeper of the gate. I think he's been overtaken by aliens, and they've made him awesome. Because he's gotten critical and sarcastic and just everything a baseball writer should be.
Bitter.
maybe a little embittered. I don't, whatever it takes, what, you know, whatever the reason, he's become awesome. Because, well, what he says is that after losing 2 of 3 here to the Jays, the Red Sox at 42-37, that record says they are a decent team, but not a good one. And that's what they are, just a decent team. And he says, There's nothing to indicate that they could beat the Yankees or the Astros in a playoff series right now. Maybe they could sneak into the playoffs, maybe win a play-in game, but there's nothing to indicate that they'd go anywhere once the playoffs began. The real playoffs began. And he said the solution in most years to that would be to trade to improve the bullpen and give the team a needed shot of energy. But he says the Sox are already pushing up against the highest threshold of the luxury tax, and the penalties become even more significant there. They also should be hoarding prospects in their fallow farm system, not shedding more. So here's a thought, he says. Go in the other direction and sell. Sell! They're in the middle of their championship window. They're a game out of the wild card. They're just a game out of the playoffs. They're coming off a championship, and they still have one of the best rosters in baseball. And Peter Abraham says sell, and you guys agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
100%. This is absolute what you do.
I think it's a big warning sign that this is coming from, again, that a guy that used to be one of the defenders of all things Red Sox, a guy that is around the team as much as he is. This means that he knows something is up with this year's Red Sox team.
I'm just telling you, and as awesome as this column is by Pete Abe, and as awesome as he's gotten, I just disagree with them. I think it's crazy. I think you're built to win now, the Red Sox are. I think they are having a funky first half after a World Series hangover. Not the first time we've seen this, but if they just turn it around at home, they're underwater at home. You know, they're under 500 at home.
18-19.
Insane. They're not going to end that way. You're going to start winning at home. I've given up the division. That's fine. You're not going to win the division. You're 8 out of the Yankees. That's fine. You're 4 behind Tampa for that first wild card spot. Win the first wild card spot. Catch them. Host that wild card game. And watch one of those young Tampa pitchers come up here and crap themselves, McCarthy.
I don't think it's going to happen. I would take Tyler Glasnow or Blake Snell right now.
Over Price or Sale?
Price and Sale, absolutely. Chris Sale in 2019, you have faith in him, what you've seen from him.
In October with the money on the table, at home in a nationally televised one-off single elimination play-in game, yep, give me Chris Sale over Glasnow or Snell or one of those kids.
With his arm probably falling off by that point because we know he won't be available.
Or David Price.
Well, Price's elbow is about to explode.
Okay, but they're still out there, aren't they?
For now.
So, give me one of those guys. Peter Abraham, though, says nope. The options are many. And listen to him. He gets vicious. He says, offer J.D. Martinez more guaranteed salary to void his opt-out clause after the season. If he refuses, trade him. He says, offer Betts an extension. And if he turns it down, trade him. He says, trade Rick Porcello now before he hits free agency. So he's not even giving him a chance to re-sign. He's gone. He says, see what you can get from Mitch Moreland once he returns from the injured list. He says, be open-minded even about Eduardo Rodriguez. He's under team control for another 2.5 years, but see what the market is for him. He says, make Jackie Bradley an extension offer. And if he declines, trade him. He says, put the entire bullpen on the market, every one of them.
I don't know what the hell kind of return you'd get for any of those guys.
But like I said before, it's like the last scene of The Godfather. He's taking care of all family business. He's trading half the team. They're a game out of the wild card. And again, I'm not bashing Abe, but this is a great column. And I love what's become of him, you know, since the aliens overtook his body. But this is it. This is the plan. If you just straighten it out a little bit, you will have made the playoffs four straight years. You're coming off a championship with a chance to repeat, still with one of the best rosters in all of baseball. Why wouldn't you let it roll?
Because I think more often than not, they've been what you just saw this past weekend rather than the series, that their best series of the year, and the win over Minnesota last week. Like, that was the anomaly. This is who they really are. And Mookie Betts isn't going to resign here. He looks completely miserable playing here this year. So that one I agree with the most. Offer him an extension. If he says no, assess this over the next 3 weeks.
And trade him in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Value will never be higher.
Betts is not going to take the contract. He's said from day one he's going to free agency, that then these other guys have sold.
Because I'm with McCarthy on this. If you wait to sell in the winter on Mookie Betts, the number goes down.
Why are you also, and Jason Mastrodano wrote this too in the Herald, why are you also eager to sell your best player?
He's not their best player.
With 2 years to go, under good team control, when you're in the middle of your championship window. I don't get that.
Because then you can reset a championship window for the next 10 years. That's the thing, Mike. You know, you talk about plans. This plan isn't working out. To return the entire 2018 Red Sox, this has not worked out.
You don't know that yet.
Have a different plan. I know what I've seen for the first half of the season. This team does not have the edge. They don't have the it factor, the whatever that last year's team had. Take advantage. There's a reckoning coming with this team in the next year and a half. Sell some pieces, get some prospects, go out, spend some money, free up money. You can spend it in the offseason, and then contend for the next 5 or 10 years. Do exactly what the Yankees did in 2016. This is what they did. They sold off. They spent money. They got all these top prospects, Gleyber Torres, you name it.
So you're giving up on the team already?
No, I'm not giving up on the team.
Yes,
I'm
rebuilding
for the next 10 years.
Okay, but you are taking away from this year for the next 10 years.
I am punting on 2019 for the 2020s to be awesome.
Too early.
No, it's not.
Way too early, and this is the plan. They're built to win now. So win now. Try and maximize winning now. Not punting to the future. And if I'm punting to the future, if I'm trading for prospects, I'm getting a different GM, because that ain't Dave Dombrowski. He's the guy that trades for Mookie Betts. He's not the one that trades Mookie Betts. That's not what he's known for, not his strength. But that's our Red Sox conversation. So you can join us on that as well. Are you selling? You giving up on this team like Pete Abe with the alien snatchers inside his body? You giving up on this team? Long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You look at this weekend and it showed. You know, we stole one on Friday. We had a lead on Saturday. And they stole the game, and today we didn't show up, you know. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing, you know. We expect better things out of the group, you know, and today, I think all around, it wasn't a good game.
Okay, Alex Cora is right. This weekend was brutal. Saturday was, wow. Of all the heinous bullpen stuff we've seen from this team over the last couple of years, Saturday was...
How many people left that game at like 6-1? They're like, ah, they're good. Getting their cars like a half hour later out of traffic. Huh? What the hell has happened?
If you missed it, Schwerin...
Two home runs.
Walden. Barnes. Brazier?
Correct.
Yeah.
And it sort of went like this. Homer, walk, wild pitch, walk, change the pitcher, load the bases, wild pitch, walk. You blew a 6-1 lead. Something like that.
I mean, it was just, they're an arson squad, that bullpen. It's a disaster.
And then yesterday was listless. It didn't show up. Agreed. And I agree. I look at him, it doesn't look good or feel good.
But how many times have you seen that kind of performance against a lesser team this season?
Okay.
It's more often than not.
Does it happen that teams win the World Series and show up the next year and are a little wonky?
Yeah, it
or
can.
Whatever, you know, a little hungover or something? Do they still not have one of the best rosters in baseball? McCarthy, you know baseball.
Yes.
And I'm not to Murray knows baseball too, but you're like...
Well, he's got his hardcore baseball podcast. He lives and breathes. Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're overrating the status of this current roster.
Top five roster in baseball, yes or no?
They should be. But
top five? No, I'm not. They're not playing well.
In 2019, as of right now, no, they're not.
They need
two bullpen arms.
Matt, there's a difference between not playing well and not being good. They're not playing well. Their roster. Going into the year, did you say that was not a top five roster in baseball?
Yes, but it has turned out that it's not right now because they need, what, two bullpen arms. You need to get Nathan Eovaldi back. Hopefully he stays healthy. You need a second baseman. You need a first baseman. Does that sound like a top five roster in baseball?
They didn't have a second baseman last year and won a championship. They had the same first baseman last year and won a championship. And
they had a better bullpen.
They had a closer. That's a big difference. I'm putting Eovaldi back in the bullpen when he comes back for me.
Okay, so you want Brian Johnson or Ryan Weber or Josh Smith starting game three. That's what you want.
I want Brian Johnson.
That sounds like a top five team in baseball. They have Brian Johnson
going up. As a fifth starter? Every team has some crap.
He can't go five innings.
Every team has a crappy fifth starter.
The reason why Mike Schwarren is pitching in that game on Saturday is because they take Brian Johnson. He gives him, five innings, and you're like, oh, God, get him out of there. There's nothing more he could possibly do.
Most every team has problems at the bottom of the rotation and in the middle of the bullpen. That's everyone.
Are they a top five roster right now with all of those things they need to address the deadline? I say no.
Yes.
The scoreboard says they're seventh.
Okay, no. There's a difference between playing poorly and being a poor roster. And they still have a very good roster.
Seventh.
They do not have the seventh best roster in baseball. They have the top five roster and you know it. And you all felt that just 2 months ago. So because they're playing poorly does not mean they suck. All I'm saying is I'm letting it ride. I'm just seeing what this looks like. I'm not bailing on this because they're built to win now.
What Danny Ainge felt like with the Celtics.
You can't cross sports.
Yes, you can. In this scenario, the plan was perfect, Mike. The plan was perfect.
No, you can't.
It's not working out. Adjust. Have a plan B.
If we get to the end of the year and they flame out, they don't make the playoffs or lose the play-in game or get swept in that divisional round, then I'll turn around and say, you're right, but we don't know that yet. We're still sort of projecting what you think this team can be. If at the end, the facts are the facts, I'm a slave to the facts. But that's then.
But if you wait until that moment, then you will have missed out on a chance to trade Rick Porcello. JD Martinez can opt out. Mookie Betts' value will only decrease. You can wait. That's fine. And you're just not going to be able to maximize those assets.
And if you peddle your pieces now and you make yourself a lesser team, you may have blown one of your real windows right in the middle of your window that you've planned for all along.
But you can build a 10-year window like the Yankees did.
If you get it right.
You're the Red Sox. You have the money and the resources once you unload those contracts to get it right.
In your scenario, you're trading for another team's system players or their prospects.
Because you need it because you don't have it. They have not developed a pitcher since Clay Buchholz. You need it.
Okay, well, anyway, back to your thoughts on this. Ron in Texas, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
A 10-year system player. I just don't get this, McCarthy. And by the way, Glasnow has got forearm tightness, so he's back on the DL, so take that for what it's worth. And if you're trading a player away for players, if for the future, who do you think you're going to get that's actually any good? Who's coming, an upcoming free agent to boot on top of it? But they're all signed right now. And by the way, what do we get, 16 blown saves? You give me half those blown saves back, and what's the standing now? Everybody's been underperforming on the roster. It's 10 weeks into the season. Water levels itself.
Exactly.
Just give it some time.
Hey, I mean, how about just winning at home? You're 18-19 at home. I think you've won only two series at home all year. Is that right? Do I have that right, by the way? They've only won two series at home?
And they've only won two series against winning teams all year. That should tell you a hell of a lot.
They had sketchy numbers against those teams in the first half of last year as well.
They were slightly over .500, if I recall.
Yeah,
and they were still winning some series and far more competitive than they've been this year.
Just win your home games. Win your home games. Joe in Chelsea. Go ahead, Joe.
Michael, how are you doing?
Good. I've
been listening to you since the show. I don't get a chance to call that much, but just wanted to make a quick point on what you guys are talking about with Dennis Eckersley's comment.
Stroman,
I agree with him. The messenger, I guess, would be wrong, because I remember growing up, it agitated me when Eck would point at guys. I don't mind the fist pump.
He was a pointer.
Okay.
Yeah.
The point and all this stuff. But, I mean, everybody's got their opinion. I know Jim and McCarthy, I'm sorry, I don't know your first name. I know you guys like that kind of stuff, and you know, I just do think there's a line. You know, I don't mind if a guy shows a little flair and a little excitement, but when they start pointing in the bat flips and the staring, case in point, Manny Machado in the World Series last year, standing at home plate, and the ball doesn't even get to the outfield wall, and he's on first base. I just think there's a fine line. That's all, and I just wanted to throw that point out there.
The thing is, though, so if someone acts like that, in Machado's case, and Joe's gone, but how much did you enjoy when Chris Sale struck him out and he fell down to one knee? He looked like a complete fool. So if a guy acts like what is considered a jackass, Well, you pay him back. That's all. I just think the game needs more flair. I think it makes it more interesting. That's why I liked what you had from Marcus Stroman yesterday, that you had a lot of these baseball nanas poo-pooing and tisking about, like, oh, how dare he? Like, oh, please, it's great. And if you don't like it, try to get a hit off him. Get a hit off him.
Okay, you bailing on the Red Sox like these guys? Like Pete Abe? And selling everything? Selling off? Are you in sell mode? Are you convinced this team's going nowhere, so are you selling? That's it. And how could the Celtics be as wrong as they were on Kyrie Irving and that whole era and still get credit for doing the right thing? How is that possible? And how could the best line, the smartest thing anyone said about the whole thing with the Celtics and what they got wrong, be Brian Windhorst? Those are the two things on the table. We'll get back to your calls on it. You'll hear the Windhorst comment coming back as well after McCarthy's update. There's no commercials here, so don't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.